we present Ian Carmichael as Lord Peter Whimsey in Murder Must Advertise by Dorothy L. Sayers, adapted for radio by Alistair Beaton, with Alan Cuthbertson as Chief Inspector Parker, Lyndon Brook as Major Milligan, Beth Morris as Diane de Montmory, Richard O'Callaghan as Mr. Willis, and Edward D'Souza as Mr. Tallboy. Episode 4, Inexcusable Invasion of a Ducal Entertainment.
Lord Peter Whimsey's investigations of the death of Victor Dean, a young advertising copywriter, have led him to suspect a connection between Dean's death and the smuggling of drugs to London high society. While Chief Inspector Parker is checking on possible routes by which the drugs are entering the country, Lord Peter Whimsey, pretending to be Mr. Breeden, concentrates his attentions on the smart set. His suspicions begin to center on a certain Diane de Montmory and her unsavory friend, Major Todd Milligan.
Ever see anything of that Dean girl nowadays, Diane?
Victor's sister? No, darling.
Well, I wish you would.
Why, Todd? She's one of nature's worst bores, darling.
I want to know if she knows anything about that place where Dean used to work.
The advertising place? Mm. But, Todd, how too yawn-making. Why do you want to know about advertising?
Oh, never mind. I was onto something rather useful there, that's all.
Oh? I'll give her a ring if you like. But she's about as wet as a drowned eel, darling. What do you want to know?
That's my business. Get me another whiskey and soda.
Todd?
Hmm?
I've often wanted to ask you, why did you say I'd got a chuck, Victor? Not that I cared about him, the poor fish. But I just wondered. Especially after you told me to string him along.
Because the young whatnot was trying to double-cross me. Thanks. He was getting to be a nuisance. Somebody had been talking to him. Probably you.
Me? That's good. There wasn't anything I could tell him. You never tell me anything, Todd.
No, I've got some sense left.
Oh, how rude you are, darling. Well, you see, I couldn't have split to Victor. Did you bump Victor off, Todd?
Who says he was bumped off?
A little bird told me.
Is that your friend in the harlequin mask?
Well?
Who is that fellow, Diane?
Haven't the foggiest.
Hmm. What's he want?
He doesn't want me, at any rate. Isn't that humiliating, Todd?
It must be.
I think he's on Victor's lay. He said he wouldn't be here if Victor hadn't popped off. Too thrilling, don't you think?
I think I'd like to meet this friend of yours. When's he likely to turn up?
Damned if I know. He just arrives. I don't think I'd have anything to do with him, Todd, if I were you. He's dangerous. Queer, somehow. Got a hunch about him.
Oh, your brain's going to mush, sweetest. And he's trading on it, that's all.
At least he amuses me and you don't anymore, Todd. I think I'll give up dope. I'm getting puffy under the eyes. Do you think it would be amusing to go all good?
About as amusing as a Quaker meeting. Has your friend been trying to reform you? That's damned good.
Reform me? Nothing. But I'm looking horribly hag-like tonight. Oh, hell, what's the odds? Let's do something.
All right. Come on round to Slinker Braithwaite. He's throwing a party.
I'm sick of Slinker's parties. I say, Todd, let's go and gatecrash something really virtuous.
Hmm?
Who's the stickiest old cat in London that's got anything on?
Well, I don't know.
Tell you what, we'll scoop up Slinker's party and go round and look for striped awnings and crash the first thing we see.
Righto, I'm on. Well, Diane, we're in, anyhow.
We've hit the bull, all right. The Duchess of Denver's place. She's heaven's prize frozen face.
good evening. Mr. Montmory, I think.
Harlequin.
I beg your pardon?
Harlequin. I recognize your voice. Todd is Harlequin.
Ah, the mysterious stranger. I think it's time you and I had a word, young man. May I ask why you've been tagging round after this lady in a mountebank get-up?
I fear that you are labouring under a misapprehension, sir, whoever you are. I have been dispatched by the Duchess on a somewhat distasteful errand. She regrets that she has not the honour of this lady's acquaintance, nor, sir, of yours, and wishes me to ask by whose invitation you are here.
You do it marvellously, darling. We gate-crashed on the dear old bird, same as you did, I expect.
So the Duchess inferred. I'm sorry, but I'm afraid I must ask you to leave at once.
Oh, that's pretty good. I'm afraid it won't work. It may be a fact that we weren't invited here, but we aren't going to turn out for a nameless acrobat who's afraid to show his face.
No, I think you must be mistaking me for a friend of yours. Huh? My name is Peter Whimsey. I am Denver's brother.
But aren't you my Harlequin?
Don't be such an ass. I know you are. I know that voice. And the mouth and chin.
Well, this is very interesting. Is it possible that... I fear it is. I think you must have encountered my unfortunate cousin, Reardon.
That was the name.
Ah, I'm glad to hear it. Sometimes he gives mine, which makes it deuced awkward.
See here, Diane, you seem to have dropped a brick. You'd better apologize and then we'll clear. Look, I'm sorry we crashed in and all that.
One moment. I should like to hear more about this. Be good enough to come into the house for a moment, would you? What will you drink?
Whiskies.
Yes, I might have known it. The abominable practice of putting whiskey on top of mixed drinks late at night is responsible for more ruined complexions and reputations than any other single cause. There is many a woman now walking the streets of London through putting whiskey on top of gin cocktails. Ah, Tomlin, two stiff whiskies and a liqueur brandy, please.
Very good, my lord.
You perceive the true object of this hospitable gesture. I have established my identity by the evidence of the reliable Tomlin. Let us now seek a spot less open to interruption. I suggest the library. The Duke of Denver, being an English gentleman, possesses a library in all his houses, though he never opens a book. This is called fidelity to ancient tradition. The chairs, however, are comfortable. Pray be seated. And now, tell me all about your encounter with my scandalous cousin.
Now, one moment. I think I know Debrett pretty well. I was not aware that you had a cousin called Breeden.
It is not to every puppy that appears in the kennel book. Please help yourself to smokes. You'll find the cigars passable, Mr.
Milligan. Todd Milligan.
Ah, the notorious... the well-known Major Milligan. You have a residence on the river, I fancy. Charming, charming. His fame has reached me from time to time through my good brother-in-law, Chief Inspector Parker of Scotland Yard. A beautiful retired spot, I believe.
Just so. I had the pleasure of entertaining your cousin there one night.
Did he gatecrash you?
Well,
Yes, that's exactly what he would do. Major Milligan, painful though it may be to me, I feel that I ought to warn you against that cousin of mine. He's definitely not nice to know. If he's been thrusting his attentions upon Mr. Momery, it is probably with some ulterior object. Not that any man would need an ulterior object for such attentions. Mr. Momery is an object in herself.
Oh.
Of course, you know the police are interested in my cousin Breeden.
How thrilling.
What for?
For impersonating me, amongst other things. I cannot tell you in the brief time at our disposal the distress and humiliation I have been put to on Breeden's account. Bailing him out of police stations, honouring cheques drawn in my name, rescuing him from haunts of infamy. I'm telling you all these distressing details in confidence, of course.
We won't split.
He trades upon our unfortunate resemblance. He copies my habits, smokes my favourite brand of cigarettes, drives a car like mine.
You must be pretty well off to drive a car like that.
That is the most melancholy thing of all. But perhaps I had better not say anything about that.
Oh, do tell. Sounds too terribly breathtaking.
I suspect him of having to do with drug smuggling. I mean, dash it all, drug smuggling.
You don't say so.
Well, I can't prove it, but I have received warnings from a certain quarter, if you understand me. I don't want to interfere in your affairs in any way, Major Milligan. I trust that I shall never be called upon to do so, but you will perhaps allow me to give you and this lady a word of warning. Do not have too much to do with my cousin Breeden.
Yes, well, I'm much obliged to you for the warning, and so, I'm sure, is Mr. Mummery.
Of course, I'm frightfully glad to know all about it. Your cousin sounds a perfect pet. I like him dangerous. Pompous people are too terribly moribund, aren't they?
My dear lady, your choice of friends is entirely at your discretion.
I'm glad to hear it. I got the impression that the Duchess wasn't too fearfully anxious to have both arms round my neck.
Ah, the Duchess, no. There, I fear, all the discretion is on the other side, what? Which reminds me...
Yes, quite right. We've trespassed on your hospitality too long. We must really apologise and remove ourselves. Oh, by the way, there are some other members of our party.
I expect the Duchess will have dealt with them by now. If not, I'll make a point of seeing them and telling them that you've gone on.
You'd better come round and have a drink, too.
Alas, duty and all that sort of thing, don't you know? Can't leave my sister-in-law in the lurch, greatly as I should enjoy the entertainment. So, if you would excuse me now, I must see to our other guests. I was fetching an ice from Madame de Framboise Douillet.
Yes, of course.
Goodbye.
I wonder. Was the fly too big and gaudy? Will he rise to it? We shall see. Willis, hope I'm not disturbing you.
No. Come in, Breeden.
See here, Willis, I rather want your advice. Well, I know we don't seem to have hit it off very well, but since we both have to work in this place...
It's my fault, Breeden. I fancy I owe you some sort of apology. I appear to have been mistaken.
What exactly did you have against me? I never could make out what it was, to tell you the truth.
I thought you belonged to Victor Dean's beastly doping and drinking crowd. And I thought that you were trying to get Pamela, Miss Dean, in among them again. She tells me that that is not the case. But, oh, well.
What is the matter?
I'll tell you what's the matter. You went and forced yourself on Miss Dean. God knows what you told her, and she won't tell me. You made out you were a friend of her brother's or something. Was that true to start with?
Well, not quite as you put it. I made Miss Dean's acquaintance over a matter connected with her brother, but I'd never met him, and she knows that.
Well, what had it got to do with him, then?
I'm afraid I can't tell you that.
You might be a dope merchant yourself.
Well, I hadn't thought of that. But if I were, I doubt if I should need Miss Dean's introduction to that particular crowd. In fact, you can tell Miss Dean that my business is progressing very well, and when I need her kind help again, I shall have no hesitation in calling her to my assistance. Now, is that all?
Yes, that's all.
You're sure, while you're about it, that there's nothing else you want to get off your chest?
No.
You don't sound very sure about it. You've been trying to tell me all this for some time now, I dare say.
Not very long.
Willis, why did you come round to my house in Great Ormond Street the other night?
How did you know about that?
I didn't know, I guessed. As I said before, you would not make a very good detective, I'm afraid. You lost this pencil on that occasion, I believe.
A pencil? No, not that I know of. Where did you find that?
In Great Ormond Street.
Well, I don't think it's mine. I don't know. I think I've still got mine. Yes, here it is.
Oh, never mind. You came round that night intending to apologise, maybe?
No, I didn't. I came round to have an explanation with you. I wanted to bash your face in, if you must know. I went round there just before 10.
And did you ring the bell at my flat?
No, I didn't. I'll tell you why. I looked in your letterbox and I saw a letter there from Miss Dean and, well, I didn't care to go upstairs. I was afraid I might let myself go. I felt like murdering you. So, I went off and I wandered about until I was too done up to think.
I see. You didn't make any attempt to get hold of me at all?
No.
Oh, that's that. Oh, it's quite all right, doesn't matter. I was only a little bit puzzled about the pencil, that's all.
The pencil?
Yes, I found it on the top landing, you see, just outside my door. I couldn't quite understand how it got there, that's all.
Well, it wasn't me. I didn't go upstairs.
How long did you stay in the house?
Only a few minutes.
In the front hall, downstairs, all the time?
Yes.
Well, then, it can't have been your pencil. It's very odd, because these pencils aren't on the market, as you know.
Well, perhaps you dropped it yourself.
Perhaps I did. That seems the likeliest explanation, doesn't it? It's not of any importance.
What did you want to ask my advice about, Breeden?
About the old subject. Perhaps now that we've had this little explanation, you may find it easier to tell me what I want to know about Victor Dean. From his sister, I gather that he became infatuated with Diane de Momery. Diane de Momery finally shut down on him and sent him off home. That's true as far as it goes, I imagine.
Except I don't believe Victor Dean was ever infatuated with the de Momery woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was flattered, and I think that he thought he could make something out of her. As a matter of fact, he was a mean little beast.
Did she give him money?
Yes, she did. But he didn't get much out of that, because he found that crowd so expensive to run with. He wasn't naturally one of that sort. He didn't enjoy gambling, though he had to do it to keep in with them. And he wasn't a drinker. In some ways, I'd have liked him better if he had been. He wouldn't dope, either. I expect that's why Miss de Momery got tired of him.
Yeah, well, he must have had a pretty good reason for going round with the de Momery lot. As you say, they're expensive.
Yes. He must have seen something remunerative in the distance.
Exactly. Well, that's all rather by the way. What I wanted to know from you was this. Supposing he found out that somebody, say somebody in this office, as it might be yourself, had a skeleton in the closet, to use the pretty old metaphor, was Victor Dean the kind of fellow to, dispose of that skeleton to the anatomist?
Blackmail, do you mean?
Well, that's a strong word, but, call it that.
I don't quite know. But I can only say that the question gives me no shock. Mind you, I haven't the least reason to suppose that he ever did anything of the kind. And he certainly never seemed to be particularly flush of cash. Not that that's much to go by with a careful fellow like him. Unlike Tallboy, he wouldn't have let wads of banknotes come tumbling out of his desk.
You think the tumbling about of notes affords a presumption of innocence?
Oh, no, not a bit. Only of carelessness. And Dean certainly wasn't careless.
Well, thanks for speaking so frankly, Willis.
Oh, that's all right. Only, for goodness sake, don't let Pamela know what I've been saying about Victor. I've had enough trouble about that already.
Mum's the word, old chap. Well, I must toddle off back to my own room now. Down here. Hello, Tallboy.
Oh, hello, Breeden.
I say, you're looking a bit overdone.
I feel it. I was up all night. My wife... Well, the fact is, my wife had a baby last night. That's really partly why... Oh, hell, what does it matter anyway?
Oh, I quite understand, quite understand. Very weird in business. Why didn't you take the day off?
Oh, no, I didn't want to do that. It's a busy day. Much better to occupy one's mind.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, Tompkin, what do you want?
Any letters to go, sir?
Oh, no, thanks. Oh, yes, stop a minute. Yes, I've got one here. I've just got to address it. Lend me a pen one moment, Breeden.
Yes.
Thanks. Breeden, do you mind not reading over my shoulder?
Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm so sorry. I was snooping. Beastly habit. One catches it in the typist room, don't you know?
Yes, that's all right. It's sending a note to my stockbroker.
A lucky man to have any stock to broke.
Here you are, Tompkin.
Very good, Mr. Tallboy.
And so ends an exhausting day, eh?
Well, all I can say is that you ought to watch your step, Peter. Paying social calls on Diane de Marmer is one thing, but getting entangled with Milligan and his crowd's quite another.
Why do you say that?
Well, they're a dangerous lot. They're not going to be too pleased if they discover you snooping around.
That is exactly it, Charles. You see, I primed them to believe that Breeden is a crook of the first order. A crook, moreover, who's got some involvement with the drug smugglers.
I don't really think Milligan's going to fall for all that. You mean he believed you when you warned him against your cousin, Breeden?
I rather think so, yes.
Well, I don't think you can be so sure.
Oh, but I do.
Why?
Because I've just received an invitation to call on Major Todd Milligan this very evening.
Good heavens.
Or rather, I should say, Breeden has received the invitation.
Well, I can only repeat it, Peter. For heaven's sake, be careful.
Since my virtuous cousin Whimsy has let the cat out of the bag, I may as well take off the old harlequin mask, right? I'm afraid, dear Mr. Marmory, my appearance will disappoint you. Except that I am handsomer and less rabbity-looking, and the woman who has seen Whimsy has seen me. It's a handicap to carry, but I can't help it. The resemblance, I'm happy to say, is only skin-deep.
It's almost incredible.
Isn't it?
Let me see you properly, Breeden.
You needn't come too close, Milligan. Even a face like Whimsy's is better than yours. Yours is spotty. You eat and drink too much. I take it that you want to get something out of me. What is it?
Well, I've no objection to being frank with you.
How nice to hear anybody say that. It always prepares one for a lie to follow. Forewarned is forearmed, ain't it?
If you choose to think so. But I think you'll find it to your advantage to listen.
Financial advantage?
What other kind is there?
What indeed? I'm beginning to like your face a trifle better.
Oh, are you? Perhaps you like it well enough to answer a few questions.
Possibly.
We met your cousin at the Duchess of Denver's place. He said you were a dope runner.
Where my cousin Whimsy gets his information from, I'm damned if I know. Sometimes he's correct.
So why not come to the point?
As you say, why not? Is that the particular facet of my brilliant personality that interests you, Milligan?
Is that the particular facet of Victor Dean's personality that interests you?
One point to me. Till this moment, I was not sure that it was a facet of his personality. Now I do. Dear me, how interesting it all is, to be sure.
If you can find out exactly how Victor Dean was involved in that show, it might be worth something to you, and to me.
Say on.
Did you learn from Pamela Dean what her brother's job was?
Yes, of course. He wrote advertising copy at a place called Pym's. There's no secret about that.
That's just what there is. And if that infernal young fool hadn't gone and got killed, we might have found out what it was and done ourselves a lot of good. As it is, I don't believe you know even as much as I do about the fella.
I don't. I never met him in my life. But I know a good deal about Pym's Publicity Limited.
How?
I work there.
Since when?
Since Dean's death.
Because of Dean's death, do you mean?
Yes.
How did you get onto it?
I received information, as my dear cousin Whimsy's police pals would say, that Dean was onto something fishy about Pym's. So, since most fish have gold in their mouths, like St. Peter's, I thought it wouldn't do any harm to try a cast or two over that particular pool.
What did you find?
My dear Milligan, you would make a cat laugh. I don't give away information. I dispose of it advantageously.
So do I.
As you like. You invited me here tonight. I wasn't looking for you. But there's one thing I don't mind telling you, because I've already told Mr. Momery, and that is that Victor Dean was bumped off deliberately to prevent him from talking. So far, the only person I can discover who wanted him out of the way was yourself. The police might be interested to know that fact.
The police?
Oh, I quite agree. I don't like the police. They pay very badly, and they ask a hell of a lot of questions, but it might be useful to get on the right side of them for once.
That's all punk. You're barking up the wrong tree. I didn't kill the fella. I didn't want him killed.
Prove that.
Look, what do you want to know?
I want to know what you think Dean was in a position to find out.
Well, I can tell you that. He'd found out who was running the show from Pym's end.
The dope show?
Yes. And he may have found out, too, the way it's run.
It's still being worked the same way, then?
So far as I know.
So far as you know? You don't seem to know very much.
Well, how do I know I can trust you, then?
Perhaps you'd like me to supply you. Huh? As a sample, you may be interested in the collar of my coat. It's remarkably handsome, is it not? A rich velvet. A little ostentatious, you may think. A little overmuch buckram. Yeah, possibly you're right, but it's very well made. The opening is almost invisible. So, we delicately insert the forefinger and thumb, pull the tab gently, and produce this dainty bag of oiled silk. Fine as an onion skin, but remarkably tough. Within it, you will discover sufficient inspiration for quite a number of enthusiasts. A magician's cloak. Such stuff as dreams are made on.
Yes, all right, so far.
Where did you get it from?
What day did you get it?
Friday morning, like yourself. I get it on Fridays.
Look here, Breeden. You and I have to be together on this. And Diane, my child, run away and play. I'm going to talk business with your friend.
Well, that's a fine way to treat me in my own house.
Move.
All right, I'm going.
I'm going to tell you what I know, Breeden. If you double-cross me, it's at your own risk. I don't want any funny business with that damned cousin of yours. You've been warned, huh? Now, see here. If we can find out who works this thing and how it's worked, we can get in at the top. It's the man in the center of the ring that makes the big profits.
Exactly, Milligan. But what is it you know?
That the distribution of the dope is all worked from that advertising place of yours. Pym's Publicity.
In that episode of Murder Must Advertise, the parts were played as follows. Lord Peter Whimsy, Ian Carmichael, Chief Inspector Parker, Alan Cuthbertson, Major Milligan, Lyndon Brooke, Diane de Momery, Beth Morris, Mr. Willis, Richard O'Callaghan, and Mr. Tallboy, Edward D'Souza. Murder Must Advertise was adapted by Alistair Beaton from the book by Dorothy L. Sayers. The programme was produced by Martin Fisher.